Bulls to make it 28-3. Arthur Blank loving it, up by 25. Toss to White. He's in! What a comeback!
All right, welcome to another episode of the 28-3 podcast. I'm Max, I'm here with Corey. No Nick tonight. He's already drowning his sorrows from the NFL draft in advance, 24 hours.
It's always the pessimist, Nick, you know, but...
I don't blame him. I'm going to be mad tomorrow, I can already feel it.
Yeah, it's been a hell of an offseason so far. I mean, not because we've done a whole lot, but kind of because we haven't done a whole lot, right? I know that was a profound statement of mine just now, but yeah... We haven't done a draft preview in earnest, so this is essentially the 28-3 podcast draft preview. Our last episode, for those of you who listened, hopefully you did, was amazing with our friends from England. We had six of us in this room last time, and now it's just two of us. It feels quite different.
It feels lonely. It's quiet.
Yeah. And in the words of one at MKC Papa, swiftly moving on.
Yeah, I'm looking around at like the empty glasses with like leftover whiskey that have dried out from last recording. But
yeah, but seriously, shout out to Dan and Mike from the Saint City Me podcast for jumping on. That was great. But we got a draft to talk about.
Let's talk draft, baby. How you feeling?
So I started to get a little bit of jitters. You know, like the fan pre-draft jitters jump in, just thinking about the fact that we. For me personally, my favorite player could fall to us in some scenario.
For the uninitiated, who is your favorite player?
That would be one Brock Bowers from the University of Georgia.
Yeah, and this is the funny thing. So we rarely, and I mean rarely, agree unanimously as a trio on this podcast. And the one thing that we have been able to agree on is the fact that Brock Bowers is the best player in this draft, and we would all just love it if the Saints would draft him.
Yeah, and not only do we want the Saints to draft him, we think he, in this case, it's not just us lusting over a player who doesn't really fit or anything like that. You know, there's been drafts in the past where there's a player who shapes up to be more of like a 3-4 off-ball linebacker that wouldn't really fit in a Dennis Allen system. This isn't that. This is a situation where we know if we take Bowers, Kubiak's going to find a way to make that dude cook. And he's going to cook some good shit. It's going to be Michelin star fire on that offense this year. Now, what I was going to follow up with about my jitters is that my like kind of nervousness, like, oh, man, it could happen, was almost immediately followed with like preemptive disappointment, you know, just – as Adam and Ryan have said on Block Party Podcast, like, are we going to get socks and sweaters for Christmas? You know, and I think, I don't know that if we get the right offensive lineman, because that's kind of what we're referring to there, I don't know that it's a sweater, because there's some offensive linemen we could get, you know, those top three guys that you'd feel good about. The issue would be, and what I don't want, is if Bowers is available when we come on the clock and Mickey thinks that, okay, Fashanu or Fuaga, whoever it may be, hell, even Latham, I could see us liking Latham, are neck and neck with Bowers. I would hope that's not the case, but if that is, Mickey's liable to go offensive line.
Yeah, and look, I don't have an issue with the quote-unquote socks or sweater draft. Like, that doesn't bother me at all, because you need to have a strong offensive line if you want to be a successful team in this league. You know, it's worked out for us in the past, for the most part, when we draft offensive linemen. You remember Ryan Ramczyk was obviously a huge hit as a late first-round pick.
Yeah.
You know, Eric McCoy in the second round has been a home run. Cesar Ruiz, first-round pick, first couple of years, not that great, but has come around the last few. Obviously, the elephant in the room, Trevor Penning. Penning has been a tremendous disappointment so far.
Yeah.
But that being said, just because you miss, you can't stop taking swings. All that being said, Brock Bowers is the best player in this draft, and I'm including everybody else at every single position. Obviously, tight end is not as valuable of a position as quarterback or offensive line even, or, you know, cornerback or pass rusher. But a great tight end can transform an offense. You know, look at the 49ers with Kittle. Look at the Chiefs with Kelce. You know, these teams that have stud tight ends, it really allows them to dictate what they're going to do on offense, and they can just play the mismatches across the field.
Yeah.
So, to me, man, if Bowers is there and they pass on him, and I'm fully expecting that to happen, you know, it just feels like it's going to happen. Like, if I honestly should just go bet money right now on Bowers going 15.
Yep.
Because I feel like it's destined to happen.
That wouldn't be the worst bet to take a flyer on. But the word you mentioned just there that makes the most sense, and why a tight end, well, let's be honest, in this draft, why Brock Bowers makes sense, is the word mismatch. Okay, because hey, we're in NBA playoff season. The Pelicans play later tonight. You know, you see it so much in that sport of five guys versus another group of five guys. Sometimes a lower seed just mismatches against another team. It takes five guys to create that type of a team mismatch in basketball. Football, on the other hand, is one where you could have one player that's an X factor, where, you know, the defense might think they've got everybody all accounted for. And kind of like Sean Payton used to do with his quote-unquote jokers, you know, if you got one guy who can really keep a defense honest, that's sometimes that's all it takes to kind of just give you that nudge, you know. And Bowers, I think, has that potential.
Yeah, I love that you used the term joker. That, to me, is exactly what he is. Because at Georgia in the SEC, obviously the best college football conference, you know, we saw him line up in the backfield. We saw him go in motion in the backfield. We saw him in the slot. You saw him split out wide. The guy can literally line up anywhere on the field. And, you know, with Kubiak coming in with the new offense, and by all accounts, it looks like it's going to be some sort of a hybrid between the ones that we run in San Francisco and Minnesota, you know, his stops previously, and then also throwing in some of Gary Kubiak, his father's offensive philosophies. Bowers is a perfect player for that. You know, you need to have that guy that's just going to – he's a movable chess piece. As you said, he's the joker. You can move him anywhere on the field, and he will stress out a defense no matter where he lines up.
Yeah, it really does just seem to make sense. So
– well, but it does, and we're all in agreement on it.
It makes football sense. Does it make New Orleans Saints Mickey Loomis sense? That is the biggest question right now.
Yeah, the disappointing thing is how we've mismanaged – you know, draft picks over the last couple of years, trading up, you know, on players that didn't pan out, and then just whiffing on important picks. Like, you know, it's been well documented how missing on Davenport has set this franchise back. You know, missing on Peyton Turner has set this franchise back. Missing on Penning, we're going to really feel the ramifications of that tomorrow night, because we're less than 24 hours away from the draft, and we are basically backed into a corner where we almost have to pick an offensive lineman. It could be a left tackle. It could be a right tackle. Well, no, it could be somebody who could slide inside and play left guard.
Yeah.
We need help everywhere.
Well, but okay, so that last point is why I pause before jumping into the, you know, just riding the wave of what has happened this offseason means we have to get an offensive tackle. A couple of reasons. If you can only trust Mickey Loomis's word as much as you can throw it. Granted, he was not smacking on gum yesterday in his press conference, so there's that. He also seemed to be, you know, kind of sober compared to the last one. But spade is spade. But he did say that while need is a variable, they still have the BPA goal, you know, and they still have their rankings. And I believe it was Triplett that asked him the question of, you know, how far up or down on your board, or really down, have you gone to in order to fill a need? You know, and I think our fear is that we're going to go like 10 spots down on our big board just to get an offensive lineman because of how dire the offensive line situation looks. Mickey kind of squashed that element of it. Now, he said he might have guys that are neck and neck, but he won't go down that far just because it's a need. Again, so that's the trust element.
They're never going to show us their board.
We'll never know. So that's the we'll never know part. Now, my reservation on going headfirst into need versus just absolute BPA is our history of offensive line picks. You know, we have a new coaching staff, so that's definitely something that has to be taken into consideration. You know, the guy that's picked is not going to walk into Doug Marrone's office on the first day.
Thank God.
He's going to walk into a guy's office that, you know, where at his previous office, he had guys in San Francisco who were set up for success because of scheme. Now, granted, they got Trent Williams, who, you know, you can't deny his talent and pedigree. But the rest of their offensive line, none of them are first-round picks. So I look at our situation thinking, like, we have a need at offensive line, but do we have a need to draft a first-round offensive lineman? Because for me, if it's Fashanu or Bowers, I mean, I know we've established why we're taking Bowers, but or someone of Bowers' caliber or someone – a skill player, offensive skill player. I'm taking the offensive skill player because I truly think that O-line is deep this year. At 45, you can get an offensive lineman who Kubiak can make work. You know, now Joe Alt is a different story if he miraculously falls to 14.
No way in hell.
But it won't happen. So I have some trepidation with just going full, you know, headfirst into got to draft an offensive lineman as soon as you possibly can. So that has to be at 14. No matter what.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Like, I would absolutely take Bowers over the offensive lineman at 14 if he's there. And then at pick 45, that's where you go and you say, we have to get an offensive lineman here. So yeah. Whoever the best one is at that point, you take him. And then to me, you take the mass amount of fifth round picks that we have, package those all up,
yeah.
Get into the third round, and go and get another right. offensive lineman. Like, yeah. To me, that has to be the plan if that slim chance Bowers makes it to 14 and we actually take him. That needs to be the plan. Second round offensive lineman, trade up the other picks that we have and get into the third round, get another offensive lineman.
Yeah. I would be shocked if we get to the end of the draft with all five. I mean, all
he
all
basically of our, said in his
all
press
of
conference,
our fifth round picks.
They're gonna I would bet good money, and I'm going on record right now saying the Saints will absolutely make two picks on day two. Mark my words. Whether it's pick 45 or whether it's another pick in the second round, they are going to pick two players on Friday night.
Usually this is the point where I say, no, you're full of shit, and then we make a bet. But I'm not going to do that in this case.
We can if you want to.
No, not on that. Not on that.
Well, let me say this. Let me ask you this. Who are your – what is your cloud? Sean Payton used to always say, you know, our cloud at this pick had this many players and these were the ones. Who is your cloud for pick 14? Assuming we stay at 14,
right?
Give me 3 to 5 guys that you would be absolutely thrilled with us picking. Obviously, Bowers is going to be your one.
That's my bias has taken over this draft like no other. I hate when kids say that, but it's true. I mean, like, I've never been so tunnel visioned on one player in an NFL draft. So, but
let's say he's gone though. Who would the ones you'd be thrilled with?
With that preface, I don't know if I'd be thrilled with anybody else. I'd be thrilled with Joe Alt, but that's not happening. We already said that.
But look, let's pretend Bowers is off the board.
I'll stop beating around the bush. I mean, it's Fashanu, Fuaga. You know, for me, Brian Thomas is in that cloud.
I don't want him at 14.
I know you don't. I mean, we've talked about this.
Don't want any part. I don't want any wide receiver at 14 unless it's one of the big three.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison Jr., Roma Dunze, Malik Nabers, in some order. If one of them made it to 14, then I would take him. Other than that, I'm not taking any wide receiver at 14. I'll take him at 45.
Yeah, and it's just tough because I'm more skeptical of each and every offensive line prospect only because of our misses. In the past, when I say
there are more hits on the offensive line
than
misses,
right? And because Penning has just put a cloud over all of that. But
I mean, go back to the beginning of the Peyton era. Because I'm going to say that's really the Mickey Loomis era got started in full at that point. Look at the people we drafted on the offensive line in the first round, second round, third, even into the middle rounds. You know, you've gotten some studs. Future Hall of Famer Jari Evans, Carl Nix was one of the best guards in the league at one point. You know, Jermon Bushrod, Zach Strief. And then you get onto the guys who are on the team now, like a Ramchek, you know, McCoy. Like, they've hit more often than they've missed. It's just that we're on a cold streak over the last couple of years. So everyone's, you know, it's that what have you done for me lately situation. And we're all looking at how they fucked up over the last couple of years. And the draft picks have not hit. But they have done a really good job on offensive linemen in this tenure.
Yeah. Overall, it's been...
So I'm not as gun-shy as you are. I just don't want a project like Penning was. Penning came from a tiny school.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing trash competition. I want someone who has played in a major conference and has played against guys who are actually going to play in the NFL.
Put it this way. If you might find somebody that contradicts this statement, but if we draft someone that comes from outside of a Power 5 school with our first two picks, I'm going to be pissed.
I am too.
And I know Rass is fun to look at, and it makes you feel good about a guy who comes in, but I'm kind of tired of us worrying about that shit, to be honest. You know, I don't think that you can point to this RAS score and say definitively that has helped us.
No, it hasn't, but I don't think it's the sole way that they pick players. I think it's just that's what they use as a tiebreaker.
That's where these small school guys end up coming into the fold. You know, like if they didn't have that score, those guys might not float up to the top of their cloud or even in their cloud.
We say that, but Penning was at the Senior Bowl, which means he was on the radar of everybody before he did his measurables and worked out and did all of that. So you kind of got to – I mean, look, Penning, he was on everybody's radar. You know, and look, we all loved it because we watched him at the Senior Bowl throwing people down after the whistle. He had that nastiness that you need an offensive lineman. But, and look, I still think Penning has a chance to be a starter.
Yeah, he has a chance. He does still have a
I think under a new coaching staff, you know, and if he can stay healthy, and obviously these are all big ifs, but I do see a path for Penning to be in that Cesar Ruiz category where he's a solid starter and you're not worried about him.
Yeah.
That being said, so those were your guys you gave me.
Well, I gave you so Fashanu.
So Bowers one, who's two?
Fashanu's two for me.
Not Alt? Alt would be two.
Well, Alt would be two, but I don't think he.
Well, going off of, like, we looked at Daniel Jeremiah's latest mock, which dropped about 30 minutes ago, and he has J.C. Latham going ahead of Alt.
Latham has a high score. Ooh, that was a whistle. But his high score.
I don't love him for our scheme, though, because he's that big, massive mauler. And this scheme, from what we've seen, looks like it's going to be more athletic guys.
Yeah. And there's reports out there that Latham might actually be even bigger than what he's listed. He's already listed at 340.
Yeah, he's a monster.
You know.
If we were in last year's scheme, I'd be like, bring him on, because that's exactly what you need.
Right, right.
So you got Bowers, Alt, I don't know if it's Fashanu or Fashanu, we don't know.
We'll find out. Let's ask Roman, because he steered us well on a...
Yeah.
But anyway, Fuaga, and then I got to throw, because I think he's in range, but Dallas Turner, also Leitu, I like.
Don't give me the whole first round here. I just needed like two or three. Just give me your actual realistic cloud. We don't need a name.
Well,
like...
let's get Alt out of there for realistic cloud. So okay. Fashanu, Bowers.
Let me ask you this. Would you be upset with a trade up to 10 if Alt were there?
No, I wouldn't be.
I wouldn't.
I think that'd be a good move. So that's kind of where I'm looking. You know, Byron Murphy's kind of gone up boards recently.
And the reason I ask is because there's rumors floating around that the Saints have been sniffing around, as they always do, about moving up into the top 10.
I know Mickey wants to get ideally ahead of Atlanta. You know, because then you take your
division. I don't understand why you would need to go ahead of Atlanta, though. They're going to pick a defensive player. We're not looking there.
Presumably. You know, we don't know. But then you take that variable out of the equation. He definitely wants to get ahead. If he wants Bowers, he wants to get ahead of the Jets. But I think
there's word going around the Jets are looking to trade back.
Yeah, and there's that.
I don't think you need to get ahead of Atlanta, and I don't think Loomis is even thinking about that, because they're not – basically, they're looking at the best defensive player.
I know their needs are different than us, but, you know, their GM came from our system. Yeah, they're a division rival. I think there's reasons to do it, because the other natural byproduct of that is you're going to get a badass player if you get ahead of them. But if you have to give up too much, then there's no...
I don't subscribe to the get ahead of Atlanta theory at all.
You don't want to get ahead of Atlanta? I always want to get ahead of Atlanta.
In the fucking draft? No, it's stupid. I don't want to trade up. I don't want to trade up unless, like...
I'm fine with trading up, but it's the cost. You know, if we...
This year, I don't want to trade up.
No.
I want them to stay at 14 because there's going to be a really good player at 14, and I don't give a flying fuck who Atlanta picks.
Yeah, it's deep for our needs. So, yeah, there's... This is not the the draft to like do anything close to a
well, we're not close trade. Enough for us to take a swing at a, you know, moving up and final piece to the puzzle or any of that.
No.
I'll give you my clouds.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Bowers is number one, obviously. I'm putting Ault at number two just on the possibility maybe he gets to, you know, 9 or 10 and you can make a small little move like up the board.
What you would call an off chance at this point.
An off chance, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go Fashanu.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put him at third. Fuaga.
Yeah.
Like him as my fourth guy. And then, let's see, Troy Fotanu from Washington.
Yeah, yeah.
I like him. He's smaller, but he's athletic as fuck. He's mean. He's Samoan. Yeah. Give me those guys. Like Nick knows this. You know, we've always loved our Polynesian players on the defensive line and the offensive line.
Yeah, yeah.
They're badasses. And it's...
Well, I won't bring up Haloi Kakaha.
He's not, no. Listen, I said offensive line, defensive line, okay, not linebacker.
Okay, okay.
Not linebacker.
Yeah.
That's my cloud.
I think Caden Ellis was Samoan.
He might have been. He might have some in him, but he's not a true Samoan. He doesn't have a last name like Fotanu or Fuaga.
Caden Fuaga would be pretty badass.
It would, but unfortunately, he didn't have that name.
Yeah, but he gone, though. He a Falcon, so
yeah,
fuck him.
So, you know, my ideal situation is like stay at 14. Ideally, Bowers falls there, and we actually take him, and then at that point, go offensive lineman the rest of the way. I do think Bowers will be gone before we pick, and at that point, you know, take one of those offensive linemen.
Yeah.
I think one of them is going to be there. Don't move up the board for someone who doesn't denote moving up the board.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Don't do this two-for-one shit where you're trading drafts, you know, first-round pick next year, and there's a real possibility the wheels fall off this year, and that pick's a top five pick. Don't pull a Carolina Panthers, I guess, is what I'm getting
at. Oh, God, yeah. Well, the wild card, and kind of brought it up earlier, is that like we don't know what their big board is. You know, the Saints' big board always has some people that obviously, you know, the Peyton Turner pick. We could have never thought of that guy.
Nobody did.
That spot on a board. So
I don't think any other GM did.
The Saints' big board, which no one who's doing a podcast or fan, I'm assuming, has ever seen, is scary hours. Because there could be a guy on there who we just, just don't know about. Could be a complete wild card, question mark. And so I said wild card like five times now, but that's it. You know, that's what gives us pause going into a draft.
Well, let's talk about the second round.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So pick number 45.
I know who you want specifically. But
I have a couple of guys that I would love to see us look at pick 45. Keon Coleman's been the leader in the clubhouse for me. You know, watched him all year. I've always been a Florida State guy. He just makes circus catches. He's a bigger guy, 6'3" and a half, you know, 215. You know, he's got that. We watched him in the gauntlet drill at the combine, and he was able to stay at top speed the entire way. You know, where all these faster guys, you know, in the 40 are slowing down to make these catches.
Didn't he get to the fastest time in the gauntlet?
He was one of the fastest ones this year.
Remember them showing the miles per hour of Puka Nacua last year.
It was very steady.
And he was like right up there with him.
I'm glad you said that because that's the almost the comp I was going to say. You know, Puka, bigger, thicker guy, mid-round pick, you know, didn't do much in college at all, gets to the NFL and he's an absolute stud.
Yeah, and I mean, do the math on the gauntlet drill, right? It's a drill, yes, but like it's technical because you got to stay on that line to...
It's more important than the 40.
You know,
a receiver.
And the 40, you know, again, do the math. The football field's 53 and a third yards wide. So if you got a guy who's getting up to 20 miles an hour on a gauntlet drill, he's reaching that speed at like the halfway mark of the field.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Whatever you ended up at number 40 at, like, the 40th yard, you're running, you're not catching it. This dude's hitting top speed, running, you know, at like, getting when he gets to, like, yard 15, 20, and he's not dropping a pass, staying on the line. That was impressive to me, and guys like that are going to be good.
Yeah, and let me say this. I mean, there's pick 45, assuming we go offensive line in the first round.
Yeah.
At pick 45, I'm looking wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for several traits. I want good size, you know, Michael Thomas type size, like the 6'3", 212.
I think we need it, honestly.
We need
point.
A physical,
tough,
mean wide receiver. We've got the smaller, faster, you know, precise route runner in Chris Olave, speed demon in Rashid Shaheed. You know, A.T. Perry, bigger guy, but we need to see more out of him before we can go ahead and...
And look, let's not... I think people always want to oftentimes put players into a mold they're not in yet. You know, like when Juwan Johnson came in as a wideout, everyone's like, he's got to put on weight. Make him a tight end, it'll be great. Well, he put on weight, and it kind of threw him off. You know, so people look at A.T. Perry, and they're like, well, if A.T. Perry could put on weight, you know, he could be that big physical guy. He's already got the size, the height. It's like, well, but maybe that's just not him. And there's a place for him as what he is. You know, a fourth receiver can perfectly fit as a 6'4" dude who just happens to be 205 pounds. You know, that doesn't mean that you can't and shouldn't go get a bigger, stockier guy who's also 6'4" or 6'3". You know, because you've already got Olave and Shahid, who yet different, fit a similar kind of size mold and speed.
Yeah, I've got five guys that I'm initially targeting in on day two, which is the second and third round. You know, and obviously this is subject to change based on what happens tomorrow night. You know, somebody unforeseen falling out of the first round.
Sure.
But right now, you know, Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State. Xavier Leggett, wide receiver, South Carolina. Malachi Corley, wide receiver, Western Kentucky. Braden Fisk, defensive tackle, Florida State. And then, honestly, Michael Pratt, quarterback, Tulane.
In the second round?
In the third round. Oh, if okay. we get Straight into up. The third round.
Do you think that's even so high?
Look, he's going to go on day two, yeah. I think. That's yeah. The way it looks is like him and Spencer Rattler are going to get into day two. Michael Pratt, you know, we've all watched Tulane games over the last couple of years. You know, they were very successful with him under center. And I like him a lot.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you got to.
Really high ceiling as an NFL quarterback, you know.
Higher ceiling than Haener. You know, Haener obviously, you know, the mold, he looks like he fits the mold of a career number two, almost like a Chase Daniel, who's always going to be in the league for 12 years and he's probably going to make a good amount of money, but, you know, he's never going to be that sustained starter. I think Pratt actually has a chance to be a solid starter in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, that, and again, this is only if we get into the third round, you know, in a trade up.
How many?
But at 45, give me those wide receivers or give me Fisk.
How many fifth-round picks are you okay with giving up to move?
To the third?
Yeah.
All of them.
All of them. Okay.
Yeah, there's five. I think we have four of them.
They're all for sale for Max.
Hell yeah. And then the six and the seven. Do whatever you got to get into the third. You got to get someone who can be, you know, a viable candidate to start this year.
Let me ask you this. We were high on this guy immediately after the combine. Say we go offensive lineman pick 14.
Right.
Braden Fisk is on the board at 45.
That's the guy I just mentioned.
Defensive. You just said Fisk?
Were you not listening to anything?
I was looking at my computer screen. Are you talking about Michael Pratt?
No. I'll go through the list again.
Apologies
to our 45, listeners there. At 45, Keon Coleman.
He's in your cloud. Okay.
Malachi Corley.
But I guess my question, though,
Xavier
is...
Xavier Leggett, Braden Fisk. Those were the four so at 45.
He's in your cloud.
He's in my cloud at 45.
At 45, right.
At 45.
So my question is...
Pratt is if we somehow get into the third.
Right. So my question, though, is specific to would you... take him over one of the wide receivers? Would you take him over Keon or Leggett?
I would not be angry if we did.
Okay.
They're all in that cloud in some order.
Yeah.
You know, to me, obviously the defensive line and the offensive line is more important than your, you know, second or third wide receiver.
We talked about it postseason episode. Trenches, man.
Yeah, so at that point, you know, Fisk is an animal. I watched just about every Florida State game this year, and when I tell you that dude jumped off the screen every single game I watched.
Dude, if we had Fisk.
And I was telling you about him before the combine, and then he blew up the combine. Like, blew it up.
There's one good thing that if we take Fisk, there's an automatic nickname for our interior D-line. Trailer Park Boys. God, I thought that was going to hit.
No.
What?
I've been calling him Kingpin, dude, because Wilson Fisk was Kingpin in Marvel Comics.
No, not just him, but
I know
him with Brazil.
I get what you're saying.
Come on, Max.
Eh.
What?
Eh.
That was good.
Eh.
There's people laughing right now listening to this.
Nobody's
and you're
listening.
Not.
Nobody's laughing.
Nobody's listening. We hope you're listening. If Nick was here, he would have given me a chuckle.
No, he wouldn't have.
You don't think?
No. Your brother Casey is laughing at you right now.
He'd be chuckling at you not chuckling.
Casey is laughing at you right now.
Well, he's laughing because of this exchange.
No, he's laughing at you for that comment.
He laughs at me about a lot of stuff.
This is true.
Okay, so Fisk, you would not be mad.
I would not be mad at all. Now, let me ask you this. Who's a guy for you that he might be a fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick? Do you have a guy that you're like, man, I watched him in college. I think he's going to be a better pro than he's projected to be, and I would just just love to have him at some point in the draft. You know, it could be trying to think of a good example of someone.
I mean, you know, it's, there's a...
Well, like me, last year with A.T. Perry, when I was like on day three, I was like, I'd love to, for the Saints to pick A.T. Perry, and they ended up picking him.
Yeah. Well, you know, for me, it...
You're going to say Ladd McConkey?
Well, no, Ladd's not... doesn't fit that bill because some people have projected him even in a, into the first round. And I was listening to T-Bob and Hester earlier this week, and Hester brought up a good point. He's like, as much as I love Ladd McConkey and as good as he could be as an NFL wide receiver...
He's too much like the ones we have.
Exactly. He doesn't compliment our guys. But I will stay on the Georgia player train here, and I really like Cedric Van Prang Ranger.
You have mentioned him multiple times. He's center slash guard.
I just think he's a NOLA boy. He went to Warren Easton. There's that. So maybe I'm a little biased on that. But he's one of your just – I think he's one of these guys that the Saints often look to be honest. You know,
versatile.
Versatile. He was one of the best centers in college football. You know, it's a light draft on center. He hasn't really gone up high on the draft board. Maybe it's the measurables. But this dude, he's a dog when he plays. And he is a dog. But he's a smart kid. He's multiple year starter. You know, he's got two national championships under his belt plus last year. And he's loved in the locker room, team captain. He fits all the check boxes, in my opinion. If he falls out of favor with teams because of the advanced analytics and measurables and all that stuff, and, you know, we have a chance to jump back in, you know, maybe we have a couple fifth round picks left, jump into round four if he's not taken yet, could be a steal. And maybe give you an out if you end up having to pay a Ruiz or a McCoy too much, you know.
Well, we already paid Ruiz and McCoy, so they're under contract.
Later, you know.
They're not going to get much more than they're getting. But, no, I like that choice. He's a good player. My guy, Johnny Wilson, the wide receiver slash possible projected tight end from Florida State.
Sure.
6'6 and some change. Fast, ran a 4.5 40. Yeah. Every time I watched him, he always flashed. Obviously would fill the need for a bigger, more physical wide receiver that we don't have on the roster. So he would be a really good complementary player to those guys. You know, he's probably my guy that third, fourth, fifth round. Not sure exactly where he goes because he's kind of a tweener. Would love to see the Saints pick him up. And then, man, I gotta go back to Malachi Corley. You know, yep. Out of the wide receivers I said I would like to see at 45, I think Corley is the one who has the best chance to slide to the third round.
Yeah.
Very Debo Samuel-like, you know, about 5'10", 5'11", but weighs about 215 to 220. Just stocky, fast, physical, breaks tackles. Would love for the Saints to pick him at some point.
And if that's where the Saints have to go get their outside of the Power 5 fix,
Exactly. And look, you can take those chances, you know, once you get to this, the third round. And the thing about Corley is he's another one of those movable chess pieces, you know, ran a lot of bubble screens, end arounds and stuff like that at Western Kentucky. You know, very good yards after the catch guy. So he would be one of those guys you could move him around the board and, you know, line him up in the backfield and just give the defense a lot of different looks with him.
Yeah, I think that's a good choice. Yeah, it does get a little bit more uncertain. I mean, every draft gets more uncertain after the top, you know, first three rounds. But this whole gap that we have this year, you know, between, you know, 2 and 5, it's going to seem like forever. Like you said, I'm sure we get back into it. I'd be shocked if we don't.
Yeah, I think we will. You know, we'll all be watching the draft together tomorrow night with the Saints Block Party guys. And then on a Friday night, you know, my game plan, watch the draft at home. You know, there's a dinner I got to go to around probably 8:30. So I'll wait for the Saints to pick at 45, and I'll be checking the phone from then on, waiting to see for when we trade up into the third round. Because to me, it's a no-brainer. It's going to happen. It's in their DNA. There's no way this team will be content to sit out rounds 3 and 4.
No.
There's just no way.
And it's the call it model or just the – it's been the tendency of Loomis where, you know, when he sees a guy that he really likes and knows that he has a compensation package that allows him to go up and get him, he doesn't hesitate. You know, he'll do it.
Well, let me say this. I got one more guy. If we do keep one of those fifth-round picks, the punter from Iowa. He's another Australian guy. He's a little bit older. He's like 27, 28.
You want to go Aussie again?
I want to go Aussie. I want to go good Aussie. This dude has a cannon.
Okay.
And it's the opposite of the Aussie that we have. the one Headley who does not have a cannon, even though he's big and jacked.
Does this Iowa Aussie have neck tats?
He might. I can neither confirm nor deny, but he is a beast. I want to say he's about 6'4", about 235.
I would have
no problem. Headley's punting at the end of the year, last year for the most part was terrible.
Yeah.
Anytime we needed him to just crush one, he would shank it or deliver a knuckleball that went like 30 yards.
That was hard to watch. So I'm fine with getting a new punter. I'm not married to Headley or anything.
Look, the last time we picked a punter, look who it was. The beloved Thomas Morstead. So I have no problem to them going and doing that again.
I'm not going to remember what mock it was, but one of these extended mocks actually had us taking the punter from Kentucky who, I didn't know anything about him before, but apparently he had, multiple 60-yard punts, was one of the top guys in the country. And it was the first mock I saw where we drafted a punter. So it's funny you say that because...
Look up Torrey Taylor from Iowa. Monster.
Yep.
He was easily the best punter in college football the last 2 years.
I want to ask about a guy you mentioned on a previous pod, maybe post-combine as well. We talked about drafting a running back and saying we just need a guy who's just a burner. Kind of Miami Dolphins mold where they just got fast guys. Just give me a young, fast dude. So Isaac Garendo out of Louisville, do you think he'll fall to the fifth? Will we have to trade up to get him? If we do...
Man, that's a 6th or 7th round pick. That dude didn't do anything. He might be a 5th round pick.
His 40 time is what's going to make people
consider
taking him higher.
Look, once we get to the 5th round, I'm fine with taking flyers on guys that are fast as fuck.
Sure.
And just have elite measurables. That's how Raheem Mostert, look what he did last year.
Yeah, that's kind
of... That dude was undrafted, but his thing coming out of Purdue was he was fast as fuck.
Yeah.
So, under that scenario, I'd be fine taking a flyer on somebody like that in the 5th round. I do love my guy Braylon Allen. From Wisconsin, 20 years old. He's going to be 20 years old for the entire rookie season, 6'2", about 240. 20? He is a monster.
20-year-old playing in the NFL?
That's yeah. Crazy. So if he gets to the 4th or 5th round, that's where I would be fine taking another running back.
Yeah.
And, I'd like to get somebody with some juice. The kid from Tennessee is incredible, right?
Yep.
He's explosive.
Some people had, it's easy.
And Trey Benson from Florida State, which my guy. He's got juice.
You love your juice. He's got juice.
He's got juice. If we're going to get a running back, which I'm fine with, as long as it's on day three. It has to be a day three pick. Give me somebody who's got speed.
Yeah, I don't want to hear the phrase, but he's got good vision. Because that means he's not fast.
I want someone who's explosive. It's got to be someone that's explosive because, look, we need it in the backfield.
Give me a guy who's blind but can run a 4.2.
I mean, they can't be blind. They're going to run right into the offensive line and fall down.
Maybe. Maybe they hit and they score a touchdown. Nick kind of mentioned it last pod with a certain fullback. But, all right, a couple questions, though. I think, all right, over under 2.5 offensive linemen drafted for the Saints. Realistically.
Ooh. I think we get 2.
So you're going under?
I mean, I don't think we're going to have enough picks to go more. I think they're going to end up trading.
4 5th-round picks?
I know. I think all those get back is going to the third.
Under 2.5 offensive linemen. Over under 5.5 QBs drafted in the 1st round.
I think we see Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, J.J. McCarthy, Penix, and I think Nix sneaks in.
So you're going 6. I think it's very possible.
Key is we need at least 4 of them to go ahead of us.
Yeah, that
5 would be
preferably
amazing.
Preferably as many before as possible. Do you have a 2024 NFL draft hot take?
Man, you're the king of the hot takes. No, I really don't. No, I don't have a hot take in this. I mean, to me, the best player in the draft is Bowers. I don't have much for a hot take on the draft. What you got? Your department.
My hot take is that...
It better not be someone's going to lead or be third on the team in tackles.
No, it won't be that. You can't get any tackles in the draft.
I'm hoping you're going to say that Jonah Ellis, Caden's little brother, is the best player in the draft. And
oh, well, I thought that was just assumed before we started recording this. But, humor there. I don't like it, but just knowing the Saints in our history, I'm going to say the Saints at 14. I hate even saying this. They're going to draft a defensive player that does not play on the D-line.
So corner?
Yeah. I think they have either Arnold or Mitchell from Toledo way up on their board.
Then you better trade Lattimore and get a first-round pick.
It would be very us to just go take one of those dudes thinking that he should have been a fifth, the number five or six or seventh pick, fell to 14, and then they go clean up the mess later. I would hate it, but that's my hot take.
Okay. Well, hopefully you're wrong.
Yeah, I hope I am too.
But that's all I got, man. Any other thoughts?
No. But just, clench tight and hope for the best.
Yeah, I would say in roughly 24 hours, we should be on the clock or close to being on the clock and getting ready to disappoint all of us.
I can hear the little chimes in my head right now with the pick is in.
Oh, man, I might start drinking tonight.
I'm telling you, the nervousness I'm going to get in.
If Bowers is there at 14 and we don't pick him, you're just going to see me get up from the bar. I'm not closing out my tab. I'm probably going to throw a chair or a trash can and I'm walking straight to my car.
It won't be a good day.
Yeah, so... With that, we'll go ahead and wrap up this episode. We'll be back next week with a draft recap episode. So until then, who dat?
Who dat?